How are we doing? Larry mentioned give us 6 weeks, and that's so true. Last week I spoke, and I made the statement that I find guitars sexually appealing. What I meant to say was I find guitars visually appealing. I think they're sexy. What I said was I find guitars sexually appealing, which means something way different, okay? I don't find them sexually appealing. I find them sexy, okay? Deal? Clear it up. But if you came last week and that was your last week and you never showed up again because of that statement, like, what kind of freak is... Yeah. So you need to come back because you'll hear retractions quite often. Those people are gone, okay? But that's the kind of stuff that happens from week to week. So I thank you guys for bearing with us. We're in a teaching series in Romans. We've been in it for a good portion of the year, and we are now in Romans chapter 14. Romans is written by a man named Paul, who used to be a man named Saul. His name was changed after he had an amazing encounter with God, okay? God shook him up. God shook up his world, made him blind. Saul, was a persecutor of Christians way back in the day. And, you know, he had no problem jailing them and imprisoning them and even watching them be stoned to death. That was his bag. Yeah, that's Paul. He loved law. He loved the letter of the law, and he knew it well. And this new message of Jesus that came through didn't jive with what Paul knew of the law. And so Paul was cool with persecuting Christians until he had an encounter with God, a very real encounter. And some of that is our story today. We share that, don't we? Some of us blasted God before we had an encounter with him. And then he became very real to us. He became very precious to us. He changed our world, and therefore we go out and we change other people's worlds, right? So we're in this series in Romans, and last week we talked about disputable matters, right? Yes, we did. Some of you were there. Why are you acting like you weren't? I remember that you find guitars sexually appealing. Bacon-wrapped, yeah, shellfish, yeah, okay, good. So some of you were here. But we talked about this thing of disputable matters, and Paul continues to flesh this out. We talked about disputable matters not being a big thing, but yet we kind of make them a big thing a lot of times. Those are the things we go to war on when, in all reality, they're not to be warred upon. We're supposed to be getting along in our community. We're supposed to be helping one another see Jesus rightly. And when we're warring about things that don't make a difference in the kingdom, that's kind of hard to do, isn't it? You don't agree with me from last week, and that's fine, okay? Okay, so Paul goes on, and he kind of fleshes this out a little bit more, okay? In verses 12, in Romans 14, verses 12 through 23, we're going to start. And if you need a Bible, there are Bibles for free out on the table right next to the earplugs. And then there's actually other literature out there that people have found helpful. And if you have books that you want to bring in that you found spoke to you, that Jesus spoke to you through, please bring them. You know, we kind of watch that table because sometimes weird material slips in there sometimes, you know, Scientology and such. We had a free book table when we were over at Suite 107, and Mormons would come and put their material on our table. And then I caught on, wait a minute, this is not ours. Let's put that in the garbage. So, anyway, I said, go get a Bible, download one on your phone, be reading with us, be reading all week, all right? Paul says this, he's talking to the church in Rome, Jews and Gentiles alike. He says, yes, each of us will give a personal account to God. So let's stop condemning each other on these disputable matters. Okay? Let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Pretty interesting. That doesn't mean you go up and trip them. All right, or have your buddy, you know, lean down behind them and you push them over them, okay? That's not the stumble and fall he's talking about. The stumble and fall, in the Greek, it's actually an interesting thing. The word that we use is the word that is scandalon, And that's actually where we get our word scandal from today, okay? And it literally refers to the triggering mechanism on a baited animal trap. Any of you trappers here? None. You? Yeah. Max is a trapper. He's a trap. But it's this baited animal trap, this triggering mechanism, and it's the activity looks enticing, right? Trying to bait people into a conversation, into a debate that you think you can win, that you think you have spiritual superiority in, that you think you know the best, and you then live a life around other people that it's baiting them in. But the problem is it's a trap. You're trying to trap these people. You're trying to hurt these people. You're trying to destroy these people. And Paul addresses that further. Let's keep going, okay? He says this, "I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat." Now, if you remember last week, it was this big disputable matter on whether you could eat meat or vegetables. And something I didn't touch on last week, which I probably should have, was the people that chose to eat vegetables weren't just choosing veganism just to choose veganism because it was hip, okay? They were choosing veganism because the Gentile practice of sacrificing animals and meat to idols was alive and well, okay? And they would do so, but then not only that, but they would eat the meat then that they sacrificed to these idols and these gods. And that made them unclean because in the Jewish tradition, that was a huge no-no. And so some of the Jews that knew the rules very, very well said, you know what, we're just going to eradicate this out of our diet just so there's no question whatsoever about whether we eat meat or not eat meat. We can just have this clear conscience before God. And so we have this meat. We have this, doesn't matter what you eat, right? In and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person it is wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you are not acting in love if you eat it. That sucks. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. That's pretty bold language, huh? Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim for harmony in the church and try to build each other up. Right? He goes on, don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. Man, that sucks. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if you might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you are doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something that they have decided is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. For you are not following your convictions. If you do anything you believe is not right, you are sinning. Disputable matters, right? Paul unpacks it a little further and a little harder and takes a little harder line that if you do these things, you're destroying the kingdom. You're destroying other people. On a matter that is disputable, which kind of hurts, right? That doesn't make any sense. This thing that I'm doing is fine for me. This thing that I'm doing is not fine for you. So I'm the one that's supposed to stop doing my thing for you. It's a little hard line. I don't like that Paul says those things. I don't like that Paul addresses these things. I don't like that we even talk about this because, you know, I'm a huge meat fan, right? I often ask if my meat is grain-fed or grass-fed and what farm it was fed on and what idol it was sacrificed to. And then I say, yes, I'll take that. and I will eat it rare, please. Okay? I don't like that Paul talks about this, and my mind starts wondering, like, well, you know, this is kind of weird, because I can get in a lot of arguments with a lot of people. Tattoos are one of them, right? Biblically? I can go a lot of places and get the question, the very conservative question of, how do you make that square with Leviticus, the Old Testament? I don't like that. Mormons, when they come to my door, and I always invite them in, they tell me that these tattoos have wrecked any chance of ministry, and that I've already, you know, got a lesser form of heaven because of them, right? It's a disputable matter, and here I am walking around with these permanent markings, these permanent tattoos, and there are people that might not like that, right? So what do I do? Take them all off. That's a disputable matter. Take them all off. But what do I do? What do I do? Just let God tell me. That's a good idea. That's a good idea. But there's a lot of things that we get into with people, and a lot of them have nothing to do with Jesus. Okay? Does that make sense? What you like and dislike, a lot of that stuff has nothing to do with your salvation nor Jesus, does it? I mean, when you really boil it down, does it honestly have anything to do with Jesus? Your preferences? You don't want to answer. It's not a trap. It's not a trick, okay? You know, I like salty snacks versus sugary snacks. You shouldn't eat sugar. It'll make you fat. I don't like that choice, okay? So therefore, what I'm getting at is these matters that we bring to one another, some of these interactions that we have with one another really have zero bearing in the kingdom, okay? But the things that do have bearing in the kingdom, the things that do matter, are the most important thing ever. And we're supposed to preserve that. We're supposed to speak to that. We're supposed to teach to that. We're supposed to love in that, right? And so when I first started drinking milk, when I first started drinking alcohol, you know, you have this somewhat form of Christian guilt or I'm going to stick it to you, stuffed shirt Christians, and I'm going to drink. I'm going to drink in front of you, and I don't care. I don't care what you feel. I don't care if it makes you uncomfortable. I don't care if you, it doesn't matter to me. I'm going to grow you up in that. My heart was wrong in that. Drinking is okay for me. Drinking is not okay for some of you. Drinking is okay for some of you. But my heart, when I was making those decisions early on and kind of bumping into this lifestyle of what this looks like, you know, to live a life submitted to Jesus, there was a lot of things that I was running headstrong into, and it was like my goal to change the world, you know, to make people the most uncomfortable they can possibly be. And I think I've achieved that, okay? If I find out that you don't like something, that is my new thing. Okay? So if you tell me I don't like this or I don't like this certain word, usually I make it a point to say it as many times as possible in your presence. No matter the context. But that's usually what I would do, and I would take these people and just make them as uncomfortable as possible. When I was getting tattooed, it was interesting. I was getting tattooed heavily in college, and I remember professors dragging me aside, and my own mother dragging me aside, my own father dragging me aside, and they said, "You're ruining any chance that you have of ministry in a traditional church." And I said, "Hallelujah. Traditional churches don't want me, and I don't want them." My heart was wrong in that. And so I got tattooed. And so I come, and there was a ministry that opened up here at Whitewater, and we've been here 9 years, and it's been awesome to see what God does through you. It's been awesome to see who God calls here and who allows us to, how he allows us to be in community with one another. And he uses these things. He uses these disputable matters. He uses these things, but what he had to do is grow my heart up in these disputable matters. Just like he's doing with you. Okay? We've had this teaching, and it's entitled, we title all these teachings, and sometimes we never even say one word about what the title is. Okay? This is called Video, Not Snapshot. If you would have seen me in high school, it's funny, Caleb and I talk about this quite often, the high school versions of ourselves. Caleb, we knew of each other in town. You know, he was a pastor's kid, I'm a pastor's kid. His family is on the top 40 gospel charts in Scotts Bluff. But we often talk about if we would have never gotten along knowing the high school versions of ourselves. We would have hated each other. And we probably wouldn't have been shy about it either. We would have been very vocal because we were really awesome teenage children, right? You can agree, yeah. You were. But if you would have seen me then, if you would have seen a snapshot of me then, spiritually, who I was, how I misunderstood God, how I lived a very selfish life that didn't care who I wounded, who I made stumble through my own choices, my own actions, you would have said, that guy looks like Jesus to me. No, you wouldn't have. You would have said, that guy's a jackass. Yeah. But the beauty of all of this is God does grow us up. And if we look at one another as just this photograph, this moment captured in history, this moment of you're never going to change. The way you are is never going to change. Then we discredit the power of God. We discredit what God can do in our own lives and the lives of the people around us. And we start looking at people instead of being housed with the fullness of Jesus, instead of being transformed by the renewing of your mind. Paul talks about that too. We start looking at people as these people just stuck in history, stuck in a moment of time. You're never going to grow up. You're never going to get this. And the more I've been a pastor, if I would reserve myself to that kind of thinking today, I would quit 1 year in. I would have been done. Because your snapshots look a lot like mine, filled with jackassery. Yeah. Filled with you misunderstanding God, filled with you hurting other people, causing other people to stumble, entrapping people. But Paul calls us to do better than that, do one better than that, right? Paul calls us to get out of that. Paul calls us to this life, this transformed life that puts other people above ourselves. That's your neighbors. That's your wife. Ooh. That's your husband. That's your children. That's your incredibly sweet, loving, kind boss that you work for. That's your neighbor who you can't stand. That's your parents, who may have done you wrong back in the day, and you've just built this bitterness up. It's your brother and sister that you haven't talked to for years because you can't get past that snapshot of who they were. I can keep digging the knife a little deeper if you'd like. Okay? And Paul calls us beyond that because Paul says, look, these people can change. Because you can change. And if you can change, there ain't nothing stopping anybody else. kind of a tough concept, isn't it? Putting people first. Jesus spoke to that. He talked about, you know, the last will be first and the first will be last in the kingdom of heaven. That's why I always go last in a buffet line. If you watch me, I'll sit until everybody's done. I'm like, man, I'm going to be first in heaven. This is going to be awesome. I think I have some growing to do in that area, right? Yeah, yeah. So these matters of dispute, these matters of how we get along with one another. Is God working things out in your spirit? God working things out in your soul? And it's our job not to make each other stumble. It's our job to keep the peace with one another. Don't misunderstand this for not saying the hard things. Okay? When you look at the things that Jesus said and the things that he went against things that were not disputable in the kingdom. And it didn't mean he was a peacekeeper, right? It didn't mean he didn't stir some things up and make some people angry because of the things that he challenged them on, okay? That's our world with one another in community. I get challenged a lot, and I hate it. Just leave me be. Just do what I tell you to do. Anybody have junior high kids? I feel your pain, brothers and sisters. I feel your pain. But I get challenged a lot, and usually what I get challenged on is not disputable matters, it's the heart matters. And those hurt. But those are things that are so needed in my world and community with you. Those are things that are needed in your world. Will you receive that correction? Will you receive those things that actually matter in your world? Will you hear the heart of God in those things as we deal with one another? Will you work on that with me? Will you work on being patient with me? I'll work on being patient with you. So, all of this wrapped up in a pretty little package. I don't know how pretty it is. If you've seen my wrapping jobs, they're atrocious. You don't have to guess at Christmas which ones came from me. Oh, that pile of garbage under the tree? That's mine. These matters of dispute matter. Because they matter how your heart is within them. They matter where your heart is within them and how your heart is with other people. How you live life with other people. How you love other people. Do you view them as a video or do you view them as a snapshot? And if you view them as a snapshot, and if you've got a lot of people in your world right now, as we talked and we discussed, as moms, dads, brothers, sisters, people you don't talk to, bosses, people that you just hold all this, you know, contention in, and you might be like me and just try to stir up stumbling blocks for people sometimes. Pray God breaks you of that view of people, okay? Pray God breaks you of that. Pray God moves you along into this video view of people. There's a lot more hope in that view. There's more love in that view. And then you start to see your role differently in that view, because you're going to start to live life with these people in the swamps. We call it slogging through the swamp with people. You don't give up on them. You love them. These disputable matters become less and less a big issue. They hurt, some of them, you know. How could you think that way? But you start overlooking these things and you start seeing the heart of God in people and you start seeing the heart of God for other people, and your world begins to change, their world begins to change, and freedom happens. So let God change your view this morning of people. Let God change your view of how you interact with people. Quit being trap setters. Live a life of love and grace. A life of admonishing one another, as God would have you do. A life of speaking encouragement to one another. And your world will change, and people around you will change. God, we love you. We thank you for this time. We thank you for the words of Paul. We thank you for the things that sometimes don't make sense, you know, as we read them in Scripture, and this idea of meat or vegetables, it really doesn't make any sense. But as we unpack them, God, in the heart of you and where you're at with that, and where you're at with us at this moment in time is huge. So God, teach us. Teach us to live a lifestyle of video, not snapshot. Teach us to raise only things of importance to you in people's worlds. God, and just as you shut the mouths of lions, so Daniel didn't get destroyed, God, I pray that you shut our mouths when it comes to matters of dispute that mean nothing to your world and your kingdom and how you choose to love. God, may we put our neighbors first. May we put our children first. May we put our wives first. God, may we take responsibility for these people in our neighborhoods and lives. God, may we see the fruit of that as we do those things. May we see the fruit of lives changed. May we see the fruit of other people who have a snapshot view, expanding their view to see people as videos. How you're working things out in your time. God, and how you use us to work alongside of you through your Holy Spirit. God, help us to have that view. Help us to see people in that way. God, where we've set traps in the past for people and we've had a wrong heart, may we go and ask for forgiveness. Where our sole purpose was to destroy and we've ruined and tanked relationships, may we go seek forgiveness from that. From the people we've hurt, the people that we've trampled on, the people that we've shown a less than kingdom to. God, give us the boldness and the obedience to seek that forgiveness. Father, give us the strength to live as you've asked us to live, to be who you've asked us to be. Take these impossible concepts, these things that just seem so beyond us and so big, and show us how to do it. Make us lovers, God, of people. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.